T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We will talk Bills draft. Yeah, so we've had Joe on the show. We enjoy having Joe on the show. He's knowledgeable. We love their website. But I got to be honest with you, I think he's nuts. So that's a good setup for a guest, right? If he still is with us and hasn't hung up, senior NFL draft analyst from the Draft Network, Joe Marino, joining us right now on the Western Hotline. Joe, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday. I meant that in a complimentary way, by the way. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm anxious to dig into this. Well, that's quite the introduction.
I just wondered what possessed you to want to do your own Bills-specific draft board, which you said essentially you had so much fun you would not do that again.
You know, I do this work. I've been doing NFL draft analysis for a long time now, and it's always been scouting in a vacuum where I consider the players – and what their role could be in the NFL, and I put an evaluation on it, and that's about it. When you actually do it through the lens of a team, and you're aware of their needs, what they like at positions, the roles that they need to fill, it really changes the dynamic. And it was very enlightening to me, because so often we can be critical of a pick. Maybe I have a player rated in the third round that winds up going number 25 overall. But for that team, it made a lot of sense. And, you know, maybe there's the opposite of that as well. And so I think really putting on that Bills lens, stacking the board in terms of the way I think it makes sense for them, it was a great exercise for me, and really shed some light on the work that I do and maybe some things that I need to be more mindful of in my process.
A draft board grade guys that only would be of consideration to the Bills? Like, you didn't grade out quarterbacks, for example?
So what I did is it was with just the first round in mind. Mm-hmm. So I wound up stacking 36 players to give the list of every possible player that I think would be a good choice for the Bills at number 30 overall. And in that 36 includes, as very much a formality, the five quarterbacks that we're pretty sure are going to come off the board early. So it's really not necessary to stack 30 players, because, you know, five of them are going to be quarterbacks, so you really only need 25. But I went to 36 just to, you know, make sure I included every possible name that I thought would be a good idea for the Bills in the first round.
How much has that changed if you'd have done this before free agency, Joe? Like, if they met their needs, if they re-signed their guys and all that, the offseason that they've had, how much has the board been changed?
It's a good question. I don't think that much would change, because I was really more mindful of fits and players and value. And so, there are certain players on here like a Micah Parsons and a Christian Darrisaw that I don't really think would be need picks for the Bills, but because of their talent and skill level, you have to rank them. So, like, at what point would it make sense for you to pick that player, even though it's not really a role or a need for you right now? When does it make sense to pull the trigger on that player? And so I did include a lot of players that aren't necessarily needs right now. So I'm not sure that free agency would have changed too much.
Let me follow up on Jeremy's question, because we were having the discussion earlier, Joe, about how the philosophy of the Bills might affect the draft. Now, you could look at it and go, there's no clear starter at cornerback two, boom, done. That should be the first pick the Bills should make. But you also have a team now that has its franchise quarterback in place, is very much driven by its offense to a specific degree, very much driven by its passing game. Does that a philosophical shift or strength of the franchise? Do you, would that affect your board? Would you give higher grades to a receiver, a tight end, something on offense, because that's what the Bills are all about right now?
Yes, absolutely. And I think if, you know, I released this on my podcast, Locked On Bills, yesterday, but a player like Elijah Moore, I have number 24, which, again, with the quarterback asterisk, is really 19, because I do think it's important for the Bills to keep investing in that strength and maintaining those ingredients that made the Bills offense so dynamic in 2020. So, yes, it did have a greater emphasis on receivers and offensive pieces that I think are necessary for the Bills to keep that engine humming that made the Bills such a successful team last year.
One of the things you have tweeted out on that podcast on the Locked On Bills, you're going to react to people's dream and doom scenarios for the Bills draft. What is your Bills? What is your dream scenario for the Bills draft?
You know, for me, it's coming away with your answer at cornerback too. You know, Levi Wallace is very much the floor, and you think long-term with this cornerback situation. The only guys under contract beyond this season for the Bills at cornerback are Trey White and Dane Jackson. That's it. No other cornerback is under contract. So there are short and long-term needs. And so I think one of those first two picks really needs to be a cornerback that they believe in. I'll tell you what, I think the Bills have earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to drafting cornerbacks, or at least Sean McDermott. When you look over his entire career, he's been able to really maximize and develop defensive backs. And so there's certainly players that I prefer, but if they have the guy that they like and they pick him in the first two rounds, I think that would be very logical. And then, you know, doing something to bolster this pass rush up front. And that's a little bit challenging because the bottom 25% of the first round is not often kind to defensive ends. And, you know, the best pass rushers in the NFL are typically high picks in the first round or somebody later in the draft that develops and reaches their ceiling like a Danielle Hunter. So I know that the Bills are somewhat in no man's land to really get an answer, but taking a swing on a guy like Jason Oweh from Penn State in the first round, maybe a Peyton Turner in the second round, I think it's really important that the Bills get better in terms of cornerback two and better in terms of affecting the quarterback with their edge rush.
Yeah, and those are the two positions I think we've all been kind of keying in on. So taking that into account, Brandon Bean has a record of moving around in the draft. You know, he could move up in round one. He's moved back into round one. He's talked about, you know, who knows, maybe he trades out of 30, a few spots, gets. Is there a guy going to your Bill-specific board? And maybe it's more towards cornerback and edge, Joe, but is there a guy you would look at and go, all right, I know you're at 30. Tell you what, there's this guy you should really want to move up and go get would be great for your team. And I'm not talking about going to like four to get Kyle Pitts, nothing like that.
Yeah. So I don't think the Bills when it comes to trading up for the Bills, I think it's a logical idea. If I were going to trade up, I would still want to make sure that I had three picks in the first three rounds. And so what I would be looking at if I'm the Bills, it's pick 161, 174, 213, 236, using those to help you move up in the third or move up in the second. Yep. You know, I don't think I would want to part with 61 or 93 to make that type of move up the board if I didn't have to. And so I think it's a worthwhile conversation. You know, rostering seven draft picks could be difficult for this football team. So if they come away with five players, but those moves come from jumping up from 93 or getting into the fourth round, something like that would make a lot of sense to me. But in terms of like just specifically those players, looking at defensive end, Quiddy Pay from Michigan, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, those would be the two guys that I would think about moving up for. You know, if you don't really think they can get to 30, which would be aggressive to think that they get down there, or one of those top cornerbacks. You think about Greg Newsome from Northwestern, J.C. Horn from South Carolina. That would be a big swing up the board, even Patrick Surtain. But to me, it's Pay, Ojulari, and Greg Newsome, the corner from Northwestern, that I think would be a reasonable target that you're not going to have to go up 10, 15 spots, but maybe just a few to make sure you get a guy that you're really comfortable becoming an answer for you.
Final thing for me, and it's actually about offense, even though we've been talking about edge and corner. Okay, so if you were a tight end or a wide receiver, to our discussion of this is what the Bills' strength is, You should always keep looking to add to your passing offense. Whether it's at 30, Joe, or maybe they trade back a few spots. Low round one, high round two. Is there a tight end or would there be a wide receiver that you would say, because what you have now with Josh, that would be a good way to go?
If I'm the Bills, I'm not really thinking about a tight end early in this year's draft. I recognize the opportunity to get better at tight end, and Dawson Knox has been inconsistent. But, you know, I can rant about Dawson Knox for a long time. But if the Bills really feel like they need to know that they're getting a guy that can upgrade that position in 2021, I don't think you're going to find that in the draft. It's not a great tight end draft. You know, Pat Freiermuth, Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, Brevin Jordan from Miami, those guys don't really have a favorable year one trajectory. And you think about tight ends, it's a very slow developing position in the NFL, and that's because they're learning how to be offensive linemen and wide receivers simultaneously. That's hard enough to do, you know, just in and of itself, but you put both of those together, and that's why you see even the best tight end prospects like an O.J. Howard or a T.J. Hockenson, you know, their year one impact is very, very modest. And so now you're talking about even further down the board and thinking that you're going to upgrade a spot where you've already got 2 years invested in developing Dawson Knox. I just think it's an empty promise to think that going with a tight end in the first three rounds is really going to provide you that answer for a slow developing position when the talent's somewhat underwhelming this year. Now, even this, for wide receiver, the Bills are pretty stacked at wide receiver right now, but the long-term concern is something to be mindful of. Emmanuel Sanders, probably a one-year thing. Cole Beasley is aging. His contract's up after 2022. Yeah, they need to make sure that, like I said earlier, that those ingredients that made Josh Allen an MVP candidate in 2020 are always in place, and that means having four really dynamic wide receivers. And so guys like Elijah Moore from Ole Miss or Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, Terrace Marshall from LSU, even you could take a swing on a Rondale Moore from Purdue or Kadarius Toney from Florida. Those players, potentially in a trade back or even just picking one at 30, would give you a lot of comfort in knowing that you're ahead of that need at wide receiver and that you're, you know, getting guys in your building now that you need to claim meaningful roles down the future, which would give you a leg up on getting that timing down with Josh Allen and solidifying their role in the offense.
Get a plug in again for your podcast and also the Draft Network and the mock draft, the Draft Machine.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. The podcast is Locked On Bills. It's a daily podcast on the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, I revealed my draft board for the Bills yesterday. Today is Dream and Doomsday scenario, as well as a 7-round mock draft today. So you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, on the Odyssey app as well. And then the draftnetwork.com, we have our mock draft machine where you can be Brandon Bean. You can simulate the draft and make those selections for the Bills and see how you do and maybe compare to what actually happens at the end of the month. So the draftnetwork.com and the Locked On Bills podcast.
Very good. Thanks, as always, for giving us your time, Joe. We always love having you guys on the show.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Enjoy the draft.